Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right. Boy, one of our favorite moments, chatting a little baseball with Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Good, Marty. How are you doing today?
Good. You know, the Yankees are coming next weekend. The Yankees are coming. All right. So, no DH, and Stanton may not play, and I think Gary Sanchez just went on the DL. Yankees are not quite the Bronx Bombers right now.
Not really, no. Certainly not like Madeline Maris or Ruth and Gehrig and all the incredible history of that team, but they do have some guys worth watching. Aaron Judge is playing, and he's about as big of a long ball hitter as you're going to find. And he makes a great play in the outfield, like every night, a diving catch, a great throw. And I'll tell you, I'd go out just to watch Clint Frazier. I really would. This guy has one of the quickest bats in the game. He's been hurt. I really wonder how you could have traded for him when his value was a little bit down. That's certainly not going to happen now. He made a cannon throw from right field last night to throw out a guy on the fly at the plate. And Gleyber Torres made a Vizquel-like barehanded play at shortstop for the Yanks. So they still provide plenty of entertainment.
Yeah, they do. CC Sabathia. Bruce, Hall of Fame consideration for him in today's world?
Not for me. I've never thought of him that way. And I don't look at careers in retrospect and go, oh, wow. You know, like I felt that way about Craig Biggio. He's a fine, fine player, but never once when he was playing did I think that he was a Hall of Famer. That's always my judgment. It's certainly not to denigrate either one of these guys. He's a great, great pitcher, great competitor. He's a local guy. But then my feeling on that is that he would fall short.
How do you like the AL East? We got a good view of Tampa. Boston, of course, they won a big game last night over Tampa Bay. That would have put them nine back. And then, of course, we got Price and Glasnow on Sunday. That's going to be a good matchup. And then we got the Yankees, sort of struggling along. What about that?
Yeah, that is great. And, Toronto is finally going to bring up Vlad Guerrero Jr. I don't know what they're waiting on. This guy's been dominating the minor leagues in a way that's just almost comical. And it was funny, too, because last night the guy had been playing third base for them while they wait for Vlad. Brandon Drury was hitting like zero, and he finally hit his first homer, but it's a little bit late because he's coming up. And, Marty Socrates got his first hit of the season last night. He's been around so long, you got to feel good for him.
Well, he's a philosopher, and he always understood the meaning of baseball. Socrates Brito got a hit last night. He's hitting 0-42. Well, when you're not hitting at least my age, it's trouble.
That's not good. Speaking of batting averages, Chris Davis, 247. Unbelievable, isn't it? That's what he's hit the last 3 years or whatever. He's hitting it now, so all good in Oakland.
Yeah, it's funny you bring him up because I'm thinking power hitters in the game today. Judge and Davis, maybe the two premier guys. I don't know. Where else do you go with this?
Yeah, that's an awfully good place to start. The Judge is the, he's the most formidable, the most inspiring to watch. Joey Gallo I'd put up there, too. He hits just titanic home runs. And hell, everybody's hitting them now. I don't know what's in the ball, but there's something in there. But the balls are flying. But, yeah, that's absolutely. But Chris Davis, this guy's hit over 40 homers each of the last 3 years. He was leading the league last I checked. I'm not sure he is today, but just a monstrous power hitter. And I love his simple take on staying in Oakland. He wasn't looking to break the bank. He's going to make pretty much what he's making now over the next 2 years as the contract extends, and he's fine with that. He likes Oakland. He likes he just likes everything about it. He's not. I don't think he would really be in like Bryce Harper's position, going to Philadelphia and expect to dominate the league and be this some kind of showman. He's not that, but man, as he goes deep with regularity, that's what matters.
Yeah, a different kind of person.
Yeah,
and a perfect for Oakland. Wants to be there. Wants to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. He wants teach the young players, which are always bring young players in. So I think it was a great move for the A's.
Yeah, it really was.
Finally to lock someone like that up, even for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. It's actually the I think their second largest contract they've ever doled out. So, I mean, and it was certainly was nothing extravagant, but for them it was good. And you know, fans might take that as a sign that things are changing a little bit there. You know, they do want to lock up their guys, and Lord knows they've got some players that should be locked up. And it's a shame that the new stadium won't be ready until 2080. But you know, it's we can enjoy them while we can.
Well, secretly, there's someone bought some land or an option on land, right, from the county at the Coliseum. I saw that in one of the articles. The A's. So apparently, maybe they're finally coming to their senses and realize we have one place we could build the park. We've had it for 50 years. Why don't we build it at the Coliseum?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they do it right, it really could be pretty charming if they build a few things around it. You know, plant a few fake trees or move some real trees in there or whatever. But I mean, just turn that concrete parking lot into something attractive. And you know, it's right off the freeway, it's right off BART, it's so convenient, and they could build a really interesting, charming ballpark right there and a little village around it.
Yeah, I see it coming. Well, you know, let's talk stadiums a little bit. You wrote a wonderful piece, I think it was yesterday, in the Chronicle about Oracle Park and keeping an open mind. And let's explore that a little bit, your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that a lot. It's come up a lot in the past, and I've always been one to say that I like the park as it is. I think it's wonderful, and I do think that it's important to have, whether it's the Giants or not, to have a park or two like this in a National League that's just full of bandbox parks. I mean, it's just getting crazy right now. You know, I grew up in Dodger Stadium watching 1-0, 2-1 games with the Dodgers in the 60s and 70s, and it was a hard place to hit home runs. Now, hell, anybody can, you know, lunge for a low and away pitch and hit it out of there. It's a different game, and you know, the small ballparks are really dominant. I think for the Giants, but for anybody, any pitcher to come into this park, it's like, geez, finally, you know, a routine fly ball is going to be caught here. And I think that's important. Now, you know, on the other hand, it is a home run hitter's game more than ever. The home runs have never been, you know, just an all-time high. Everybody's hitting them at the Giants, pretty much. And you got to get in that game. Now, were they, you know, moving the right center field fence in a few feet, is that really going to improve their home run total? A little bit. And it would make the park a little more fair. There's no doubt about that. I mean, when Brandon Belt hits a 421-foot shot that's still has momentum and is not a home run, you know, that's discouraging. And we've seen an awful lot of that. I really wonder, you know, I think the edge would probably go to the opposition just because most teams that come in have more power and are more likely to hit more home runs. But, you know, the issue of the bullpens is important, too. That's part of this plan, is to get the bullpens off the field where they're down by, you know, it's just too cramped down there. You know, and it's not to mention guys, you know, outfielders running halfway across the landscape, all of a sudden they've got a mound to deal with, and that's how Mack Williamson got hurt. It's an awkward place to have them, and if they can put them behind the new right center field fence setup, that's a good thing. I do have an open mind about it. I'm not completely against it. I think it's interesting and maybe something worth trying. How about you?
Well, I think the game is heading in a direction that's not going to turn back for a while.
Right.
And fans, you know, it's almost like 1918 and 1919. Fans didn't want to see four singles to score a run. They wanted to see Babe Ruth hit one over the fence and get immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of back to that again. Fans don't want to necessarily see 12 hits and two runs. They want to see six hits and seven runs with the home run. So I think that's something you have to respect and understand. This is now part of the game. The old Yankee Stadium had 407 to left center, 461 the dead center, and then, you know, short down the lines. This Yankee Stadium it's like having batting practice.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
They adapted and said, all right, we're going to get a smaller ballpark. It's still Yankee Stadium. And I think for some reason, not reasons, but I think when Peter McGowan put this together, he loved Willie Mays.
And he loved
the Polo Grounds.
Yeah.
And his vision was to recreate the Polo Grounds and recreate a spot for Willie Mays, a type player, to run down balls as he saw as a kid, and he wanted to recreate that experience. Well, things have changed in the game, and I think maybe the ballpark can be a little shorter. And I think the PR move would be to get the bullpens moved and then take a little part of that triples alley away and use it as a bullpen and maybe cut it down a little bit. So, you know, it would change it. I don't know. So I'm open to it.
Yeah. I mean, the park's basically going to look the same. You know, in reality, it's not like they're gonna tear down the bricks. I mean, so yeah, it is pretty interesting. But you mentioned Yankee Stadium. I mean, once you hit a ball 461 feet, there were three monuments out there in play.
Right.
I mean, to hit it over the monuments is like 480. I've actually been doing some research on some of the old ballparks, you know, the old Cleveland Park, Forbes Field, the Polo Grounds, and some of the dimensions were just, I mean, insane, like 505 to center, you know what I mean?
Well,
and I'm going to write about that just to say, see how much the game has changed.
I'd love to see it. Griffith, well, because parks were built on blocks.
Yes.
On city blocks, so they had to fit the park onto the city block, and a lot of it was, you know, they had you know, an ivory building, an ivory snow building in Cincinnati. You couldn't put the, you know, the fence any further out because they had to build a terrace in left field so the fans could see.
Yeah, and you know, Fenway Park, that left field couldn't go any farther. You got to tear a street up,
right?
And so they've got that. They got a huge wall out there. Meanwhile, it's a heck of a poke to deep right center, and you can yank one down the right field line around the pesky pole in a ball you barely hit. But I love that stuff. I love quirky parks and crazy dimensions, and everywhere you go, you get a little bit different kind of a challenge.
So what do you do with this team, with the Giants? It is only April, 21 games, but it's a continuation of a couple of years of players getting older and not being in step with the way the game is being played offensively today.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really heard or read a suggestion. Certainly, there's certainly nothing that's going to happen, I think, that's going to turn this year around. And you know the older guys, even Bumgarner now, I think I don't know if he's losing a lot, but he seems to have lost a little bit. You know, he went out yesterday and walked a guy right away in a couple of hard hit balls, and he's down 4-0. You can envision him being traded, as painful as it might sound. And what does he really get? You know, a desperate team might give up a top prospect, but it might be more like two double A guys. And does that really help you? They obviously need power. They're not seeing it a whole lot of in the minors, although, you know, with Joey Bart and Ramos, those guys at the California League, Bart's hurt right now, but, you know, those guys have a lot of promise. It's not like they're completely dry, but, you know, patience is the thing, which is not, they don't like that. It's not their game. They don't like telling fans to be patient and it's going to be better and you'll want to come out more. I don't know what the answer is. The roster as it's currently constructed is not going to rebound and win the West at all. I mean, they just don't hit enough. And, you know, the value of the older guys, Posey and Crawford, those guys don't look the same as they did, you know, 5 years ago. And Belt's kind of up and down. It's the idea of trading your way into it, I don't know. I don't know where that goes. So they're a little bit stuck, and it'll be interesting to see, that's why they got Farhan to try to think his way through this mess.
Yeah, and it's a year of transition. And I think everyone has to understand that and just sort of enjoy the story and see where it goes. But I think, it's a transitional year. Players are now at an age where they're not coveted in baseball because they're in their 30s. And, look, you can't have 3, 4, 5, and 6 who hit, hitting 180.
Not really, no.
It just doesn't work. And, you know, your leadoff guy is striking out like crazy, but, you know, he gets on occasionally. Number two guy, is all of a sudden, first time in his career, striking out a lot. So I think they're in a bad way right now. But with pitching that's solid pitching and with a good bullpen, I think they still, put on an entertaining product. And look, they're not going to hit 206 for the year.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing, 207 would be better.
Thank you. They're not going to have 15 home runs. Yelich will have more than they will shortly. But you have to just sort of let it play out. You really do, and it's gonna the way baseball works, it does get better, and if they could just get a little better, it could become interesting for them. They're just right now sort of at the bottom of the barrel offensively.
Yeah, you go out to watch them, and you're looking for defense and pitching. It's a boring kind of steam in today's game, no doubt about it. But you know, they're not going to lose 12 in a row. You can still go places with pitching and defense. It's just that you don't go terribly far. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, the road is the big thing.
Yeah,
just being able to win on the road and hit the. And I think, in a way, this was my theory this week, that they're going to do better on the road because they're free from Oracle Park. And I think the park has beaten them down a little bit for these guys who played here 7 or 8 years. And now they get on the road, and they should – I think they're going to play better on the road. Look, they're running into a Pittsburgh pitching staff, Bruce. That's, you know, it's got the best pitching staff right now in the National League, best starting staff, and they got 17 bullpen guys, and the last guy throws 102.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first road game on the trip, they went in and boom, boom, boom off Strasburg. It's like, yeah, that's more like it. And then they ran. You know, the Nats have some good pitching too. So it's a tough go. The National League is so tough. I mean, you got teams like the Dodgers and the Cubs who are so much more loaded than the Giants, and they're certainly not beating up on everybody. So it's very engaging.
Yeah.
And the Giants just got to desperately see. Now Colorado's won 5 in a row, and all of a sudden they're hitting the ball like they can. So
that's what that April and May is all about.
Yeah, exactly.
You get your identity and you see who you are,
mm-hmm.
and we just have to accept that and just read the pages and read the book and let it play out every day. All right, how about Joey Votto? And I thought this was a joke.
I thought this was, I said,
well, this is a joke, right?
Yeah, that can't be right. I mean, he pops up to first base against the Dodgers. And this guy's been around a long time. Well, it's the first time he's ever popped up to the first baseman.
6,000.
You're right. It can't even be true. But he basically just doesn't even pop up. I think the stat I use it in the paper. He only popped up. Was it 7 times over 8 years to anyone?
6,828 plate appearances. The first pop-up to first base. I mean, I thought it was like, you know, okay, what's the joke?
Yeah. Boy, that's crazy. I mean, you see guys, you know, guys in the Giants will do that 3 times in a game.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But 35 years old, the power sort of is gone. I don't know. His career is kind of funny. You know, great eye, takes too many pitches. You know, the whole business of not putting the ball in play. Now he leads off. But not a Hall of Famer, I don't think, by any means.
No. I mean, for a guy with that kind of bat control, you'd think he'd be hitting like George Brett or Rod Carew.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure what he's hitting. I'm trying to find it here, but it's nothing earth shaking. He's hitting 277. You know, or maybe it's 227. I don't have my glasses on, but he's
227.
No, come on. Yeah, I know. I agree. He's an interesting player, but never thought of him as a Hall of Famer.
No,
except in the realm of pop ups and in the don't pop up. He's definitely in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe the best ever.
Yeah,
this,
I know.
This is like an Earl Webb. You know?
Well, with 67 doubles.
Yeah, or? This is like, come on, how did he ever do that?
Right,
got to knock Earl Webb out. It's somebody's got to knock him out, right?
Earl Webb, yeah.
The doubles
sounds
record.
Like a car wash.
Wasn't that who was that in L.A.? Wasn't it
Earl Scheibe?
Earl Scheibe.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a good memory, Bruce. I like.
Yeah,
that.
he's got a German Shepherd sitting in the hood of his car. It's awesome, you know.
All right, Josh Hader. Kiki Hernandez last night.
Yeah,
did you see that one?
Yeah, and they also showed the I didn't see the whole game, but they showed the Bellinger at bat. It's like, oh my goodness, Bellinger's just basically just feeling for the ball, trying to make contact, and all the pitches were low and away and just insane, and finally strikes him out. And then Kike gets one around the letters, you know, down the pipe, and that was 188 miles an hour and just jacked on a dead pole homer. That was so impressive. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you're not seeing from the Giants.
No.
Yeah, like, you know, at all. I mean, Kike Hernandez is just one of the guys on that team that can do that sort of thing. Jock Peterson and Bellinger and Seager and Muncie, and it's just on and on. But, yeah, Kike Hernandez, who torments Bumgarner, as I recall,
exactly.
Is a very good hitter, and we've seen too much of him here in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's sneaking the fastball past him as, you know, the sun past the rooster.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it. That was the ultimate test there. And how well do you hit a fastball? Well, right there, that's how well you hit it.
Yeah, that was. I thought that was something last night. And the last thing, always great to talk to you, you know that. I look forward to tomorrow as well. And by the way, happy holidays to you.
Yeah, you too, Eric.
This weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see the wind in Wrigley yesterday? Did you see this story?
I did not.
26 or 27 miles an hour blowing in. And it was one of those, you know, pop up to second, ended up, you know, in the bullpen, that kind of thing. But one of the monitors was blown out of the media, you know, out of the.
I did see that. I didn't have the sound up to think, what the heck is that? Somebody's TV monitor went cascading into the stands.
How about that?
I'm glad it didn't hit somebody in the head.
Really? Wrigley Field, I'll tell you. You know, when the wind blows in, anything can happen.
The land of the flying television monitors.
Really? You know, you know it's so funny about baseball, you know, we'll let you go with this, but you do see something different every day.
You really do. It sounds so ridiculous, but it's true. I mean, not necessarily with your team, but if you scan the entire landscape, you know, we watch a quick pitch every night. And there's always something just completely nutty that happened.
What about the collision last night?
Oh, God, that was full on, man. That was like an NFL kind of, you know, full speed, both guys, bang, bang, and they were down. I hope they're okay. That was really hard to watch.
Well, they got two new players coming up. Cole Tucker, first-round pick from about 4 or 5 years ago, to play short.
Huh.
And then Brian Reynolds, the Giants that they traded in the McCutchen trade.
Yeah, good to see him.
From Vanderbilt. He is just killing it in AAA this year, and he's going to replace Marte. So we got that action today, too.
I hope they get it in.
Yeah, they will. Raph is Bill Murray from Groundhog Day. He says, no problem. He's our weatherman here. So.
Yeah, I always go with him. He's got it down.
Yeah, no, he's no problem on that. But the Pirates, look, 8 straight starts, quality starts. I just think, Ken Maka was on with us earlier. To me, you can't run 5 or 6 guys out of that bullpen every day.
I so feel the same way. And I think, you know, I like the way Bochy handles it. He's all for guys going deep. He's got the rotation to do it. So do they. So does Houston. So does Washington. And that's, you're in for the long haul that way. You just can't be relying on your 5 or 6, you know, whatever, relievers every night or even two out of 3 nights. You just can't do it. It's not fair.
It's April, for God's sake.
Yeah. Jeez, absolutely.
It is April 20th, isn't it? I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Pirates are great. I mean, they lose Jared Cole and McCutchen. Their fans are completely discouraged. And, you know, they're still a very viable club. So good for them.
Well, their pitching coach doesn't get enough play.
Yeah, I guess.
Because Maka was talking about Jordan Lyles. You know, they bring people in, Trevor Williams. Mm-hmm. And they turn out pitchers who become very dominant. And I think it's Ray Searage, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, huh?
I'm not sure, but he's so far under the radar, but this guy is tremendous. Tremendous.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, good. Everywhere you go, a different challenge, Marty.
That's it. And the challenge
the grand
for us
of the game.
And the challenge for us is just getting the start time right for me. I would have been home right now and saying, "Oh, I got to come in a little while."
I'm glad I picked up the phone.
No kidding. Yeah, me too. All right. Have a great holiday. Well, of course, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Talk then.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. All right. That's a baseball conversation. More coming up on these sports.